Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Tyne.
And I'm Bonnie North. With daily allegations of sexual misconduct being made against men in powerful positions, there's also a growing conversation about how these men have affected women in the workforce. Women have described environments where powerful men were shielded from their accusers, while victims were often shamed and bullied into leaving their jobs.
This month's Milwaukee Magazine looked at how men and women are paid, promoted, and hired in Wisconsin workplaces. Carol Nixon, editor-in-chief of the magazine, joined writer Anna Miller and Lake Effect's Joy Powers in the studio, and Miller started by talking about the dynamic that exists in Wisconsin.
Part of it is just choices themselves, like what careers women choose to go into. Another reason is childcare. Some women have to leave work after a certain amount of time. There's something called the mother tax in some literature, where women who have children are paid less because companies think that they're not going to be a stable employee. They're just going to leave after a certain amount of time to have more kids. So there's the choices, there's that. But then when you factor all that in, there's still some of it that comes from outright discrimination in terms of hiring processes.
I mean, you just mentioned that women will leave work because of childcare. But in your piece, you actually said that really only accounts for 10%.
Yeah, that's true, but that's their perception of it, that's what will happen. That's not entirely true, but it's the misconception that some people have in businesses, especially in the corporate area.
What are the kinds of misperceptions that continue looking at motherhood, but also being a woman in general, I guess?
For motherhood, it's that they won't be as invested in their work because their mothers. And that's supposed to be a full-time job, I guess, in some stereotypes that still exist. And being a woman in general, studies show that people see women as being more emotional, more inclined to do things for other people, like bring in cookies to the office or something like that, to be better at the people work than, say, the math science route.
One of the things brought up in the piece was the Goldilocks syndrome. Mm-hmm. Can you unpack that?
It's that if you're outspoken as a female, then you're seen as being aggressive and mean. But if you're too nice, then people will just walk over you, I guess.
And how does that play out when we're talking about jobs and mm-hmm. whether or not people are getting jobs?
Yeah, that all factors into the implicit bias part of this, the perception of women and when they're being hired. It's like they have to act a certain way to be thought of as being hired and then also to be considered for promotions. They have to walk a fine line there that their male counterparts might not necessarily have to walk.
You list companies in Wisconsin whose board of directors are at least one-fourth women, which seems a pretty low bar. Mm-hmm. The best is Alliant Energy at really just 50%.
Yeah.
So that's the one that's doing it the best just has 50% women mm-hmm. in a state which is more than 50% women.
Yeah.
The others, most of them fall precipitously after that, the majority coming in at under 30%. When you've talked to people about this piece, as I'm sure you have, mm-hmm. have people been surprised by this? Do they know that boardrooms are this disparate?
People that I've talked to have not. Yeah, even people in my – I work another full-time job when I've talked about this. They were surprised because I work in – healthcare and writing in my company is pretty equitable. Seeing this across the board as a conglomerate, when a lot of people just work in their own micro spaces, they don't see the big picture every day. Seeing the big picture was pretty surprising for at least my friends and my coworkers.
Overall, I would add that the statistic we quote for the percentage of women on public company boards in Wisconsin is only 17.6%, which is really bleak.
Mm-hmm. It's surprising. I was surprised to see that it was less than 20%. Again, in an area where women are 50%
yeah,
of people.
Exactly, as they are in most places, yes.
And some of that, as I talk about in the article, it comes from that insular network of other people who are on the board are male and have been there for a long time. So they take on the people they know, who they think will be good for the job, aka people in their network, other men working in that same field.
Well, And that's something that you bring up, that you call the old boys club. And I think we all hear this term quite a lot, but we rarely define it. How do you define it?
It comes back to that network thing. It's a large percentage of the way people get jobs isn't just applying online or submitting their resume. It's through people they know. And people that maybe older men know from working in a business that was previously dominated by men, they would be used to having men in those roles, and having their network would be mostly male. So seeing women try to get into that network is harder, because it's hard to break from what you know.
I think one interesting thing that came out in the article, one of the women who Anna interviewed is Emily Phillips, and she talks about the old boys club to some degree, and how when she was entering the business world, she made the decision to learn to play golf because, you know, it didn't take too much to observe that that's where relationships were forged and people got ahead. And I think that, you know, that's very common. Certainly that's not unique to Milwaukee. I mean, I think it happens everywhere. But I think in a community this size, relationships tend to go back further. So in general, I think people tend to gravitate towards people they've known since school, and et cetera. And I think something that goes along with that is a sort of insidious sexism, because if you're a man and your best friend has another guy friend that they want you to hire, or that they put up for the job, it just makes sense that these things continue on and on and on.
I mean, Carol, you are really the head of Milwaukee Magazine, and you are also an outsider to Wisconsin. Have you found yourself in some ways coming up against this old boys club mentality?
Well, you know, I have a couple different types of observations. One of the things that inspired this article was about a year ago, I was invited to a meeting of Professional Dimensions. And at that meeting, it was, I believe, an anniversary meeting, and we were given topics of discussion at each table. And at my table, we were talking about how things have changed for women over the course of the years. And so there were, you know, I'm proudly middle-aged, but there were older women and younger women at that table. And they were talking about how, you know, as recently as the 80s into the 90s, but particularly the 80s, a female lawyer was saying that her firm would have meetings at men's clubs like the university club or other clubs that excluded women, and she would just not be able to go. They wouldn't accommodate her. You know, she just wasn't able to go. Another example a woman gave was of a restaurant in town that catered to business lunches, and they had a counter space and then a table and tables, and women were not allowed to sit at the counter because that was for men who had important things they needed to get back to. And so they had a reason for having to sit and get speedy service at the counter. So that type of thing happening as recently as the 80s came as a surprise to me as an out-of-towner, and again was one of the reasons why we did this article.
I was about to say, are these experiences that squared with your own?
I think that perhaps the workforce in New York was a little bit more advanced in those ways at that time. Although I do remember one of my first jobs when I was still in school part-time. I worked as a receptionist at the Academy for Educational Development, and it was across the street from the University Club in New York, and there were areas there that the female executives at the Academy did not have access to, which is hard to believe.
This can even square with my personal experience, even though I'm younger. A friend of mine, his brother is a lawyer, and in a conversation with him, he runs a firm in the city. He said he would never hire a woman because they would just, they couldn't handle the job and raising kids at the same time. He said that that's not something a woman should do, and he hasn't hired a woman, so.
Which is, of course, illegal. But speaking of that being, of course, illegal, something that you mentioned inside of your article was the Equal Payment Enforcement and Transparency Acts. What were they?
They were acts put in place by the Wisconsin government to make sure that people would be held accountable if they weren't, like, outright discriminating in their
in their pay.
What happened to them?
They were repealed by Scott Walker.
And what was the rationale at the time? Because I've been trying to kind of figure that out, but it seems as though really all these acts did was give teeth to already existing legislation that makes discrimination illegal.
I really can't tell you. Another interesting thing, this article, we started working on it prior to all of the sexual harassment cases that have come up in the news. And our article doesn't talk at great length about sexual harassment. Mm-hmm. But I think that all of these women coming out with stories of sexual harassment just goes to show things are far from equal for women in ways that, you know, I think many of us thought we'd resolved these issues already, but we have not.
Yeah, and I'm sure these tales of sexual harassment aren't just the ones in the entertainment industry are very public because people are aware of these figures, they care about them, but it's not just in the entertainment industry, it's in anyone you can think of.
It's in everything. I mean, it, of course, happened with NPR.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mike Oreskes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There was a quote that stuck out to me inside of the piece. Executives are starting to have conversations about why they need women at the top. But honestly, this is something that I've heard my entire life.
Mm-hmm.
I would say your entire life, certainly. And I would guess, honestly, Carol, your entire
mm-hmm.
life. This has
mm-hmm.
been something that's been floating around for decades since mm-hmm. women got the right to vote. What makes people hopeful now?
I would say that change is always unfortunately slow, and that whoever has power is typically slow to relinquish that power. But I think that one reason to be hopeful is just the critical mass. And I do think that we're at a point with so many women, professional women in the workforce, with women being better educated than they ever have been before in history, that our voices will be heard. I mean, with so many of us, it's just inevitable. It might be slow, but I think progress is inevitable.
And I think it helps for younger girls or women entering the workforce as more and more women get to those positions to see people in those positions who are like them and to be able to aspire to those roles and have those mentors who are like them.
Anna Miller is a Milwaukee-based writer, and Carol Nixon is editor-in-chief of Milwaukee Magazine. They spoke with Lake Effect's Joy Powers.